Good evening and welcome to Top Growth. Today we will be discussing a hot topic that is impacting many Americans, our unpredictable stock market. In 2017, we saw the Dow Jones yield historical gains with record-breaking highs and people celebrating the year ending at its highest point in United States history. Anyone who looked at their 401k statements were thrilled to see such growth. However, we welcome 2018 as markets plummeted in January, with the Dow experiencing its most significant one-day decrease in history. The recovery since the plunge has created what many investors have coined a very volatile investing climate, making many worry that the bullish market we celebrated in 2017 has come to an end. Joining me today is Chris Provo, founder of Provo Wealth Management Group in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Since leaving Wall Street and establishing Provo Wealth Management in 1992, Chris has led an impressive career in wealth management. He manages the investments of both individual and institutional clients with extensive knowledge in the investment field. Chris has been recognized as a top LPL financial advisor and was named to the LPL Financial Chairman's Club, a distinction awarded to less than 6% of all LPL advisors nationwide. Welcome to Top Growth.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I'm so happy. I've been looking forward to this discussion, especially with the market being so crazy.
Oh, when isn't it unpredictable?
Exactly, right? Exactly. Year after year, it seems right. Like you just never know what's going to happen. But before we begin, tell me a little bit about Provo Wealth Management and what you do to help your clients, and just a little bit of background for our viewers.
Sure. Well, I worked down in Wall Street for a few years prior to starting my own company in 1992. Yeah. I came back to Massachusetts really wanting to help the average Joe, to apply what I learned, not to help the billionaires, but to help, you know, friends and neighbors. So really for the last 26 plus years of starting the company, it's been one of those things of just a grassroots effort of working with people, helping them make money, helping them retire and enjoy that retirement, and to, you know, share and be a small part of their lives.
Right.
So it's very, very...
It sounds very rewarding.
It is. Yes. It's extremely rewarding.
Yeah. One of the things I love about your company and some of the research that I've done is you have programs really for any situation.
Correct.
For the person who is ready to retire, someone who's planning to retire, for women who statistics prove that women are so lax in their retirement planning.
Right.
Compared to the general population. And so you have programs that you can help women. You have programs to help startups and new couples getting started, and also for people trying to save for college education. So it sounds as if you really cater to anybody who's interested in investing and interested in their future.
Well, that's the strength of the team.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the advantages of working with my wife.
Yes.
That has that woman perspective.
Who's delightful and wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. And her department is all women. Our operational people, for the most part, women. I've always looked at sustainability as a way of investing. And when you look at boards that have women, three or more women on the board, is a company that historically performs much better.
Yes.
So to me, you know, if there's a strength or an opportunity there, you want to take advantage of it.
Right.
So whether that's the diversity or the future sustainability. But the team is really the key, because we've got great people, whether it's the senior associates, the junior associates. We don't turn anybody away. If somebody came in our office and wanted to invest what most consider to be a small client, we have salaried staff to help them. So it's one of those things where it's about abundance and not scarcity. We don't have million-dollar minimums, like some firms do.
Right.
We really have always grown the business, and the major design of the business was to help people.
Right.
And you can't help people if you say, well, you're a small client, we can't deal with you.
Right, and that's really unique. It's incredibly unique, not only here in the region, but I think all over, where a lot of investment firms and wealth management organizations really look for a client within a certain minimum investment. And so what's really wonderful about your firm is that you look at families, you look at individuals as, you know, what is it that they are looking to achieve? What is it that they want for their future? And regardless of where they are right now,
sure,
you're willing to sit with them and nurture them to bring them to where they want to be.
Yeah.
And that is wonderful in today's world, because you don't see that very much.
It's challenging. Yeah. It's a lot easier to say we're going to have a minimum and not work with that segment of the population, mm-hmm. turn them away and pass them on to someone else.
Right.
My philosophy, and I've heard different people in the business come up with different business solutions.
Yes.
We're going to tell them to go somewhere else and then come back when they have more money.
Right.
I didn't agree with that.
Yeah.
The person who helped you grow your business now all of a sudden is no longer a good fit for your business, so you're mm-hmm. going to get rid of them. I didn't agree with that.
Right.
So from our perspective, it was, what can we do to help all people?
Right.
Can we hire someone as a salaried employee that's licensed to be able to work with those individuals mm-hmm. to make sure that their needs are taken care of? And the answer was absolutely.
Right.
So I never really found that equation complicated. The big joke of the firm is we have no minimums except no jerks allowed.
Right. Right, because and that's so evident, because yeah. everybody at your company seems so happy to
Thank
be
you.
There.
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful environment.
We've got a great group.
You have a great program. Yeah. You've got a great group. You've got a great program. Yeah. But although you don't have minimums, yeah. it's my understanding that you also work with huge, significant investments with institutions. And so you can handle anything from
Absolutely.
The smallest yep. minimum investment to the most significant investment and or
Correct.
Someone switching over because they might not be unhappy or they're not getting the services that they need or the attention that they need from someone else, that you're able to do that.
And that's the experience of the people that we have.
Yes.
I've been doing this almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have people on our team that have been in the business almost 30 years,
right.
Some longer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the combination of some very experienced advisors that can work on massively complicated issues.
Yeah.
And then we've got the senior associates, the staff mm-hmm. that can help anyone. So it's
right.
a great, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And that's obvious.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the stock market, because it just seems to be the hot topic right now.
Yes.
It's all, not
Hot is
only
a good word for it.
All the media. You could read the Wall Street Journal, where you would definitely yep. expect to see it. But then it trickles all the way down to blogs and publications that are unfinancially related.
Everyone has an opinion.
Everyone has an opinion.
Sure.
And the opinions are so varied across the board. So in your opinion, in your perspective, what happened? What happened in January?
Well, to back up just a little bit,
yes.
you have to be careful with those opinions, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go back to the 90s and, your barber was telling you what stock to buy, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Things like that. I always educate my clients on saying, listen, the person who wrote that article in the magazine that you're getting all worked up about may have written an article for Rolling Stone the week before.
Right.
So know, right. Have an understanding of what you're reading and how that all comes together.
Exactly.
So be very, very careful.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the great things about the experience we have,
mm-hmm.
because we've read and listened to so many people and said, that's awful, that's very good, and you
right.
keep the people that are very good, and they become part of your repertoire.
Right.
And I think when we write the articles for the economic forecast for the Worcester Business Journal,
yes.
we take that information and we know the strength of what we're reading
mm-hmm.
and who we're listening to, and we're able to apply that on a massive scale to those readers. So, and then, of course, apply that knowledge on a daily basis. But the markets have been very challenging,
mm-hmm.
Especially this year. Last year, they called it Goldilocks, right? It was never
right.
too hot, never too cold,
right.
just right.
Right.
And it was a easier year for most investors in the marketplace. This year is a lot more challenging. And the reason for that, of course, is concern over wage inflation,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't had in the past dozen years.
Exactly.
So from my perspective, that's a good thing.
It's huge.
It's people
huge.
Are being paid more,
right.
which makes sense, right?
Yep.
I mean, they haven't been receiving huge increases. And unemployment is very low.
That's right.
Which I think is great for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we're worried about recessionary information, high inventories in the marketplace
mm-hmm.
that could cause a recession in the future. The one sector of the economy that had high inventories was automotive, which
mm-hmm.
was virtually reduced through the hurricanes in Texas and Florida.
Yep.
So that was almost a positive,
mm-hmm.
from a stock market perspective long term, which, and I know that's very
right.
odd to say.
Yeah.
Because certainly the damage and the problems that created. But you have to look at that, from an economic perspective when you're in my business.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of look at things a little bit differently. Right now, we have extremely high earnings, high revenue. Earnings expectations and revenue expectations, which were high to begin with at the start of the year, have been even higher. So we look at it and say, okay, the market is going, it's going higher. So how do you deal with those challenges of today, of corrections? You just have to, you have to ride those out. So we had a 12% correction in 15, we had a 13% correction in 16, certainly didn't experience any of that in 17, and here we are again, down 11.2% in about four business days. From our perspective, that's just part of what's supposed to happen.
Okay, so let me, so based on that, so as you know, it's like a politically divisive country right now.
Yes.
And so it's just been, it's been crazy. So a lot of people are saying, you know, do politics play into this at all? And so based on what you just said, it absolutely does not. But do you want to talk about that a little bit? You know, it was right before the president's State of the Union where everything just plummeted, boom, started to just go way down. And of course, you know, he was talking a lot about how great the stock market was going. And then all of a sudden, the timing of it, right before his State of the Union address, it plummeted down. So is your opinion that that's just, it was just a, just what was happening in the market? It had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with the landscape, the political
politics
landscape.
Will always have a little impact, you know, with the markets. You know, Bill Clinton, you know, in the 90s took a lot of the credit for the growth of the 90s. I think that was more Netscape and Microsoft 95 than Bill Clinton. Did he do great things as far as paying down the debt and you know, becoming more moderate by bringing the two parties together that that he didn't do in his first administration? Yes. So, it, you know, Trump, of course, was taking all of the credit for this stock market and how, and he deserves a little of that credit. You know, the tax cuts is a strength. There's a lot of factors that go into why the economy performs well. You know, right now, if you looked at Apple as an example and said, okay, Apple will sell a phone in Europe for 400 euros. A year ago, that meant that they generated 440 American dollars for that phone. Today, with a weaker dollar, they're generating $500.
Right.
That's significant impact to their bottom line.
Exactly.
A year ago, they would have been taxed 35% on that money. Today, they're taxed 20%. So again, it's one of those things where it's an economic benefit to the company. So do you thank Trump for pushing Congress into the tax cuts? I'll give Trump credit for that. That's fine. but ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the companies are performing well. Earnings have been very strong. Weaker dollar is helping. But there's a lot of factors that are really helping the economy right now. And politics is just, you know, one piece of that. I have clients on both sides of the party. They're always coming in trying to, you know, pick my brain about politics and this
course.
And that. I try to stay neutral.
It's the best thing to do.
You know, and it's just, you know, what concerns me, I think, today is the divisiveness.
Yes.
You know, I read all the political books because I was actually a political science and history major in college, not economics or business like most people assume. And it's a great perspective to have because I look at things a little bit differently than most people do. And so I read all the books from Tip O'Neill and John Kennedy and all that stuff. You know, they may have disagreed politically, but they always came together at night, had a cocktail, played poker with Democrats, Republicans. Today, it's like you can't even associate with the other party and not have some kind of protest or violent upsurge. So that concerns me.
That really could impact consumer confidence as well.
It can. And consumer sentiment came out extremely strong this past week.
Which is great.
So,
it's really great.
So if consumers are buying, then demand
is
there.
That's what we want, a healthy economy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so over the last day, 2 days, we've seen that Amazon is dominating the market. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why that's happening and why there's been so much publicity on that?
You know, they're dominating because they can, right? They can bully other companies. They can buy out those other companies. They're able to bring back a lot of the assets held overseas today. What are they going to do with that money? You know, I think if you look at healthcare as an example and life sciences, companies like Biogen, Amgen, et cetera, you know, they're able to bring that cash back at a more tax-efficient perspective. Now they can go out and buy smaller companies, whether it's a Voyager or a CRISPR, Denali, whatever the case may be with gene therapeutics and other drug producing companies. there's an opportunity there.
Right.
So the tax cuts, from my perspective, looked at it and said, okay, where will this trickle down into an opportunity as far as what companies to buy and what mm-hmm. companies to avoid? Mm-hmm. And I think the big companies, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, et cetera, they're going to continue to dominate. I'm not implying that, you know, we'll have six companies, you know, 20 years from now.
Right.
But it's, you cannot not have those companies in your portfolio.
Right.
The growth opportunity is just too high.
Yeah, right. And the balance is key, too. The
sure.
balance of the portfolio.
Absolutely.
So why don't we talk a little bit about if someone is watching the show
yes.
tonight and they're wondering, you know, they want to think about a smart investment strategy for 2018 and they're concerned about the market, the volatility of the market. They're concerned about whether the buzz about interest rates rising is going to actually happen.
Yeah.
What are some of the things or some of the perspectives that you can provide to people to help them determine where they should look or where they should move their decision-making process towards just
sure.
so that they can be more smart and savvy with respect to their investments in 2018?
Difficult to do for
yeah.
most individual investors because
right.
the behavioral science aspect of it comes to play. You know, we're, in a lot of ways, we're our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be ultra-conservative on January 1, and then on December 31st, we said, you know, to ourselves, after a good market, why weren't we more aggressive?
Right.
We should have been more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault
right.
I wasn't more aggressive. The market
right.
did great
right.
this year.
Right.
And the reality of it is, find what's the right fit for you
mm-hmm.
and stick with that strategy. So we have clients of all types, very aggressive to ultra-conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we have a review with our clients every 6 months, we're sitting down and we're talking about risk, we're talking about their investment objective, we're asking them what's changed in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Are they maybe, you know, going from, I thought I was going to retire in 5 years to I've been forced into retirement by my company. How does that impact, mm-hmm. you know, your mental state as
mm-hmm.
far as managing the money? You know, I think after 2008, a lot of people really experienced risk much differently.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it and said, well, I can't believe I lost a quarter of my money, half my money. How can I, you know, get more defensive? How can I manage this more appropriately? And fundamentally, it's all about the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not you want to be more aggressive or more conservative, find the right strategy for you and stick with it. And it can certainly be updated. You know, we're constantly asking questions to our clients. You know, what's changed? What's,
mm-hmm.
what's you know, what not only what's changed to your financial status, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, what, how have things impacted your life that would cause you to kind of change the way you do things? Ultimately, we're managing the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying we like this stock, not that stock. We have more experience than you do. We're going to take that responsibility off your shoulders. We have full, you know, full mm-hmm. fiduciary responsibility and full discretionary authority over the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, it's your money. We need to make sure that you're in the right investment objective.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, then, you know, we should be right 9 times out of 10.
Right. And I recently read a study that people are living much, much longer.
Yes.
And so years ago, you might see people retiring at 68, 69, even 70, and today people are working longer and they're living much longer.
Right.
And so planning for retirement in many cases it's more challenging because you might need, you know, you might determine through an analysis that you help create that someone needs X in order to maintain the lifestyle that they have or have a wonderful retirement.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they plan for it, it works, at the end of the day they have what they need. And then all they realize, oh my gosh, you know, they're 20 years into it. And they're still healthy and happy, and they're worried the money's going to run out. So how are you helping your clients who either are nearing retirement on a retirement pathway or those who you've worked with who have retired,
mm-hmm.
ensure that they don't run out of money and they can live a longer, healthy, happier life?
Sure.
That seems to be a challenge that has
it's a huge challenge.
Years ago.
Huge
yeah.
challenge. So when you look at the 5 years before you retire and the 10 years afterwards,
mm-hmm.
they call that the red zone of retirement planning, where any major mistake can be a huge stumbling block to accomplishing your goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that 15-year period. It's you know, before that, after that as well. But mm-hmm. that's absolutely critical. So a lot of what we do is we look at their income stability ratio. Is it 30% guaranteed income? Is it 70%? Is it 100%? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a huge factor. If you have 100% guaranteed income on everything that you need to pay during your retirement, and you also have this $500,000 investment portfolio, that becomes more discretionary.
Right.
You know, we can manage that to, you know, improve your vacations, to better your life, to gift money to children. If your income stability ratio is extremely low, then you're living on those assets, and how we manage those assets become extremely critical. Mm-hmm. Because if we make a mistake, then that could directly impact, you know, you having money at age 85 or 90 or 95, right. which you have to plan for
today. Right, you have
to. You just have to.
It's almost you have to be more cautious and plan for more of a, more longevity, just
and
so that you're
safe.
Challenge.
And yeah. that's the challenge. Right. Because if, let's say, for example, you had all your money in the bank. Mm-hmm. If inflation's at 2% and you're earning 1%, you are guaranteeing to lose money safely.
Right.
Because in 30 years, you just won't have enough based on inflation alone, never mind what you're withdrawing from the
right.
account. So you have to look at all types of risk. It's mm-hmm. not just the risk of market risk of losing money. It's inflationary risk, purchasing power, mm-hmm. it's a currency risk. It's a number of different factors.
Right.
So a lot of what we do is we, you know, the client will come in, we'll take a look and give them a risk number mm-hmm. and say, this is where you are. Based on 2008, this is how much you would have lost. Mm-hmm. Based on a 2013, this is how much you would have made. If interest rates go up by, you know, 2%, this is how much you would win or lose in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of is all educational-based software today that hopefully your broker or advisor is taking advantage of.
Right.
Because the tools are out there. You just got to pay for them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so for those young families that have young children, realizing that starting a family older, which is really the norm now, mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they get close to retirement, they're going to have children going to college, mm-hmm. which is definitely going to impact their
sure.
retirement planning.
Sure. I have one at Babson right now, I know the pain.
Yes, and I understand he's going to be entering the family business
yeah,
at some
well,
point.
Yeah, well, he's been
soon.
In it for, since he was six.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
I was having a drink with him at my cousin's 50th birthday party the other week, and he goes, I'm coming back this summer to work. I said, but I'm done filing and shredding.
He's ready to get down to brass tacks.
Yes,
yeah, that's
yes,
great. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So what should those families be thinking of?
You know, well, we tell our younger clients, you know, what did immigrants do when they came over? You know, they worked their butt off.
Right.
And they saved, in some cases, half their money.
Mm-hmm.
So they learn to, you know, budget and manage their finances extremely well. Maybe they didn't invest it the best way possible, but they always had strong positive cash flow. So, you know, it's like my sister when she graduated college many years ago. I said, you know, we're going to max out your 401k. We're going to max out your stock options. We're going to put you into a Roth a couple years later when Roths in 1997 were created. And she came back and she's like, you know, I don't have any money left over after you've saved all this and did that, and I've got my mortgage because I just bought a house. And I said, well, you spent the last 4 years in college making nothing.
Right.
So, you know, the amount of money you have today, and, you know, years later, she's got $500,000 saved
right,
up.
Right, right,
so
exactly.
From my perspective, it's you have to have that discipline right out of the mm-hmm. gate. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, why aren't you contributing to your 401k? Your company's, you know, matching dollar for dollar up to 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Put 4% away. You're mm-hmm. you're missing out on a raise.
Right.
And if you're only doing 4% in 6 months, can you do 5%?
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, can you do another percent to get up to 6%, to 7%, right. to 8%? And eventually, maybe in 10 years, you're maxing out.
Right.
And you did it through baby steps. So we're always just trying to use little ideas, strategies to get mm-hmm. people to do the right thing. And you know, clients will come to us all the time and say, I want to buy this company, and I love this company. You know, most brokers out there today are like, okay,
right.
you know, we'll research it and go, no, I'm mm-hmm. not buying that for you.
Right.
This company's awful.
Right.
Their balance sheet's horrible. They're burning through their cash. You know, they're going to issue more stocks to generate, you know, enough to survive.
Right.
Why would you buy that company? Oh, you know, my next door neighbor says it's going to make a killing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
you tell your next door neighbor to buy that stock.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've been in business for nearly 30 years.
Yes.
You've been doing what you do for much longer, so you have so much expertise. Do you have what you would term the Provo Wealth Management top 10 tips for smart investment, or you know, the top 5 tips or the top 8 tips that you can share with our viewers?
Yeah, do what I tell you to do. That's the number one tip.
Number one, number two, number three, number four.
But seriously, It depends on what you're trying to accomplish, right? So, you know, tip number one is find out what's your prudent investment objective, what's your strategy, and stick with that. You know, another tip would be, you know, if you're going to buy individual companies, you know, look at the financial health of the company. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, most important.
Right.
And then from there, look at growth and profitability. Don't look at the potential profit of that company. Look at the financial health of that company. Because, you know, what did Warren Buffett always say? My number one rule is never to lose money.
Right.
And rule number two is never forget about rule number one.
Right.
Yeah. So you've got to start with that financial health. Is, mm-hmm. is the company going to be around? Is, you know, Will Rogers used to say, I'm less concerned about the return on my money as I am the return of my money.
Right.
Right. So
right.
the financial health is paramount. From there, then research, you know, the opportunities and the growth potential and all of that. You know, we take a tactical approach with investing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have 20 white papers and reports from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, our own firm LPL, and, mm-hmm. and others saying, you know, overload in emerging markets, then certainly we want to do that research and then mm-hmm. say, okay, we want an overweight in emerging markets.
Right.
You know, because if we think that's going to perform the best, then we want to put our clients more weighted in that particular mm-hmm. area. So. There's so many tips that you can do from mm-hmm. that perspective. You know, dollar cost averaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're saving 10%, save 12. Right. Save 15. You
right.
know, put more money away.
Mm-hmm.
We never pass on our our risk tolerance to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that a lot of people in our profession do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm concerned, so we're going to get portfolios, you know, more diversified across the board.
Right.
If my client wants to be 100% stock and be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
then we're going to manage that money based on that objective.
Right.
So I'm always trying to find out, you know, where our clients want to go, mm-hmm. what they want to accomplish, mm-hmm. and then how do we best get them to do that.
Are you accepting new clients?
All the time.
All the time. Yep. So how would someone, do you meet personally with your clients?
In some cases.
Okay.
You know, it depends on what they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a client's going through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
We have a certified divorce financial advisor in the
mm-hmm.
office, so that person would be more...
They would be more in tune
more
to
suitable.
Meeting. Right, exactly.
Yeah, to meet with them than I would be.
So how would someone, if they say they wanted to get in touch with you and... discuss, you know, just whether or not there's a fit and whether or not they would benefit from the expertise of you and your firm.
Sure.
How would they, would you prefer that they call you, email you? What's the best way to get in touch?
Either or. You know, if they call us, I might take 10, 15 minutes and just talk to them about what they're trying to accomplish and
mm-hmm.
who might be the best fit in our office for them, whether that's me or someone else.
Yep.
We've had people come in and say, you know, I saw you on Selco TV or this or that. You know, mm-hmm. can I come in and take an hour of your time and kind of, you know, interview you? And it, absolutely.
Great.
And we've had some people come back and say, we don't think you're the right fit for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good.
Right.
You know, you need
much
to
prefer
find,
to hear that.
Absolutely.
Right.
You need to find the right personality for you. Our philosophy may not, you know, agree with your philosophy. So from our perspective, it's, you know, if it's a fit, great. If it's not, then go find that other person. And we've referred other people to other advisors that
yes.
are not in our firm.
Right.
So kind of like that Macy's that Macy's commercial back in the 30s. What was it? Right. Miracle on 34th Street?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's wonderful because
yeah.
if you don't have your integrity, you don't have anything, right?
Absolutely.
And so
yeah.
and your firm is very well respected
Thank
for
you.
Its reputation
yeah.
and its integrity. So that's great. So hopefully you'll get some calls and people will be interested in at least exploring, you know, what it would be like to work with your firm or work with yeah. a firm that you would recommend to help them reach their goals.
Yep, thank you.
That's really great. Well, yeah. thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah,
and
welcome.
We
thank you for having
we'd
me.
Love to have you back. I know that you're doing a lot of things in the community, especially with your work with Becker College.
Yes.
And in their international business center on social business.
Yep.
So perhaps we can have you back in another time to talk about that exclusively.
Sounds
and
great.
Just how social entrepreneurship is expanding and what the organization is doing to build that and make it more viable here in the region.
Sounds great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.